Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
First and goal at the 9. Deshaun calls for the ball. Here's the snap. Watson looking. Pocket collapsing. Watson trying to get away.
I try to spin him off, and when I spin him, his leg kind of came up. I'm not sure where it hit. It just hit my helmet. That's all I remember. His eye went shut. I had to readjust my helmet.
He does to the right.
This eye was actually going close too, so I kind of threw it blind.
Throws to the end zone.
I didn't even see the play until after the game. I just kind of just laid there and heard the crowd go crazy and knew we scored.
Caught by Fells! Magical! Touchdown, Houston! And the Texans take the lead!
That was the Deshaun Watson, one of the plays of the year last year. There's a lot to choose from when it comes to number four, but that was the eye kick touchdown against the Raiders. Texans scratch and claw ended up winning that game, and that was obviously the pivotal moment of that. One of Watson's new receivers, Brandon Cooks, will weigh in on that play very shortly. But before that, let's hear Cooks weigh in on the new system, which Tim Kelly is going to be calling. You're going to hear from Tim Kelly in 32 minutes. Brandon Cooks has played in New England, a similar system to this one. How has that helped you learn this new system that you're going to be in?
It's one of those things that, you know, being removed from it for a couple of years, you know, it's one of those things when you come back to it, you just, it's almost like a refresher in some sense. But I think the Zoom meetings are great just because now I have enough time to be able to truly study, you know, with the team in a Zoom meeting, and then after really continue to just keep that going. And so I think it's going really well.
I think it's important to note a couple of things there. Foremost, Bill O'Brien is running exactly New England's system. We've had receivers tell us that Bill O'Brien in the film room has said, I know this works. We ran this in New England.
Shout out to Cecil Shorts.
And so I don't know if I'm encouraged or discouraged by that. Part of me is encouraged because Cook could step right in and take this, you know, and pick it right up. Part of me is discouraged because clearly this is the exact same offense that hasn't changed very much at all.
Yeah, and we'll hear from Tim Kelly on whether or not that's going to change. Keep it locked. We're gonna be hyped about that. We're gonna give Tim Kelly the benefit of the doubt. It's a fresh slate. We're gonna hear what he's got to say. It's gonna be a weird thing to see though, John, because you can say it's the same system. DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be a part of this anymore.
Exactly.
And he's been the most consistent player the Texans have had during Bill O'Brien's time. Deshaun Watson depended heavily on DeAndre Hopkins. Now he has Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Kenny Stills, and Will Fuller. Here's James Palmer asking Brandon Cooks about the dependency Deshaun Watson had on DeAndre Hopkins compared to what he has now.
You know, I look at it from a standpoint. First and foremost, you talk about a guy in Hopkins who's just a special player. So you look at it, there's no question on why you want to continue to get the ball to him, because he makes things happen. But now that what we have, I think we have so many special guys in this room that can do it all. When you're stacked on a team with multiple receivers, you have a better chance of winning consistently and going far, because you can never just key on one guy. And I think that unselfishness in the room is going to do us justice in the long run, for sure.
He's not wrong. If they are unselfish and if they are healthy, that they've got several upper-end type receivers. At least in recent years, they've been upper-end type receivers. But name someone that would not want DeAndre Hopkins as part of that group, even if you do have some of these other guys. I mean, he's basically making chicken salad here, saying, look, we're good. We've got multiple guys. We can hit you a bunch of different ways. And that's going to be the formula, because it has to be the formula, because DeAndre Hopkins is gone.
You don't really have a choice.
Yeah.
And these guys got to be ready to go. You got to be able to spread the rock. They're all going to have huge, huge years for the Texans to be ready to go. But luckily, they do have that depth. As long as they don't trade Kenny. Don't trade Kenny, Bill O'Brien. Don't trade Kenny Stills. I'm going to say this for the next 113 days.
Oh, my God! They killed Kenny! You bastard!
Don't do it.
Yep, that's going to be Landry.
Do not trade Kenny Stills.
That's going to be Landry.
Excuse me, if it happens. I mean, I'm going to sound straight up like those South Park kids. Here's more from Brandon Cooks. We just heard the Deshaun Watson play-by-play of the face kick, eye kick, touchdown against the Raiders. This is Brandon Cooks talking about that very play with James Palmer of NFL Network.
I didn't know about the kick to the eye until we were watching film a couple of days ago, actually.
Okay.
Which was obviously impressive. That goes to show that he's a tough guy and he's a warrior. And no matter what's going on, as long as the play alive, he's never going to stop.
I mean, you can argue it because he made so many great plays. I think that was his best play of the year.
What about the Bills? Tywan Jones.
I think this one was just because of the getting, going blind in one eye in the middle of a play. I mean, that's a mitigating factor right there that could have turned a lot of guys into just shriveling up and hitting the turf,
I think you could also make a case. That's one of them, the eye kick. I think the play against Buffalo to Tywan Jones is up there. I think the throw to Kenny Stills on Monday Night Football that could have been the game-winning touchdown. You could put
what
that
was
in there as well.
Houdini type play of the year.
I mean, there were so many. Yeah. I mean, he had that one, which, by the way, that's another reason to not do what? The touchdown to Kenny Stills? To not what? Trade Kenny. Okay? It's another reason.
Oh, my God!
Kenny Stills.
They killed Kenny!
I was right there. The DeAndre Hopkins flip against New England.
That one? Yeah.
You could put that one on the list.
I think the eye kick was the most impressive anyway.
I mean, the touchdown against New Orleans, the run into the corner of the end zone where he kind of hurt his hip.
Yep.
I think you could put that one up there. There's a lot to choose from. There's a lot of magic when it comes to number four having the rock for you every single play on offense. Here's more from Brandon Cooks about the previously mentioned magician / Houdini, whatever you want to call him. Brandon Cooks on his new quarterback.
Just what I felt from him right off the bat, I got to tell you, this guy's smart. Hearing the questions that coach asks him in these meetings and how quick he's able to just fire off the answers, it's really impressive. You think as a young guy, they will struggle with some of that, but I got to tell you, he's right on the money every single time a question's being asked. And that says a lot, especially, at the quarterback position.
There you go. Brandon Cooks on Deshaun Watson.
I mean, just another guy in a long line of people that are impressed with every aspect of Deshaun Watson's game, man. I mean, it's we're going to be redundant, but it's on Deshaun this year. I mean, it's all about what he does. We talk about all the injuries and depth or lack of depth or Kenny Stills, no Kenny Stills, not having DeAndre. Whatever you want to talk about, it comes back to that.
Got to spread the rock. You've got to. You absolutely got to spread the rock out, and you're going to need somebody to produce at the 1,100-yard level. I mean, it's one thing to not be... First of all, I think it's kind of unfair to say, and I'm not saying it's not true, but I think you've got to mention that the dependency on DeAndre Hopkins. First of all, yes, it's true. He did. Mm-hmm. He targeted DeAndre Hopkins quite often. DeAndre Hopkins had the most targets on the team, and he was among the most targets in the NFL. But you've also got to mention Will Fuller could not stay on the field.
Right.
Kenny Stills missed games as well. Like, it's not like Will Fuller doesn't get to eat when he's not on the field with DeAndre Hopkins. Like, Deshaun will spread the rock out, but you talk about tough, smart, dependable. Nuke Hopkins might not have been on the practice field. I can't believe we in here talking about practice. But on Sundays,
we in here talking about practice.
Nuke Hopkins was ready to go, and he was there. He was the most dependable guy you had. So, yes, he did rely on him. But he was also the only guy who was consistently on the field on Sundays.
Exactly.
And oh, by the way, I also think there's something to speak for the ability for a quarterback and receiver to trust each other when it comes to 50-50 balls. We were talking about schoolyard games earlier. You remember the game Jackpot, and you remember the game 5,000 or 500 where you just pretty much close your eyes and call out a number?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what a 50-50 ball is when it comes to a quarterback and a receiver. There's an art to it. Some quarterbacks throw very, very nice 50-50 balls. They put it where the receiver can catch the rock. They know what the receiver's timing is on the jumps. They know what's going on. And Deshaun Watson had that chemistry with DeAndre Hopkins where it's the old saying that a lot of people throw out there. I've heard you say it a couple times, OG. When he's covered, he's not really covered.
Yeah.
And Deshaun Watson had that at Clemson with Mike Williams where he could go to him, he could throw him the 50-50 ball, and Mike Williams now with the Chargers would go up and catch that pill.
Mm-hmm.
He also had it with DeAndre Hopkins. So I think there's a little bit of an art to that in being able to trust that guy. So I think that's something that we need to keep in mind when it comes to the dependency on DeAndre Hopkins. The premise I get, but if Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly and Jack Easterby, whoever made these decisions, think that it was just because Deshaun Watson was ignoring other guys, mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit more to it. I think there's a little more of a gray area, and we're going to find out very quickly. There's a lot of factors. Just if that dependency was a good thing or if it's something that allows this offense to elevate and take the next step.
Look, Deshaun Watson, I just said it. We all know it. He could make four, you know, slugs out there look good for the most part in most games. But there are going to be moments where you have to go get it on that down, on that play, the gotta have it play, as they like to say. That's where DeAndre Hopkins, and another number of ways as well, but that's where DeAndre Hopkins had it over everybody. Right now, those four, top four guys, Brandon Cooks, Kenny Stills, Randall Cobb, Laremy Tunsil, Landry, the tallest one is 6 foot tall.
Laremy Tunsil's playing receiver now? No,
I mean, not Laremy Tunsil. Brandon Cooks, Kenny Stills, Randall Cobb, and Will Fuller.
I was going to say, Laremy earned that money.
The tallest one is 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
That's not a small thing.
They're not massive, and they don't necessarily really play big. We've seen Will get it up every once in a while. Kenny will go up and get
some
it, too.
Some people list Will at 6'1". I think in the combine, he was like 6'5".
So you got to give him that half. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you here on Sports Radio 610. Tim Kelly. He's about to speak. What do we want to hear? What are we going to hear? We will cuss and discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we're going to hear from Tim Kelly in about 15 minutes. John, you got some high hopes here. You're expecting some big things from Tim Kelly.
No, look, I'm not going to bet on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. If you want to, I'm here.
You're here for it. I'm not going to bet on it. I just, and maybe I'm just, you know, kind of in an optimistic mood right now. I feel like if they're really going to do this, he's finally settled in. He's the guy. He understands what Anthony Weaver, you know, how he blew people away with his candor and his approach and his personality. Maybe Tim Kelly's going to be more of himself, or maybe that is himself. You know, I don't think he's going to be as impressive in terms of, you know, effusiveness and personality and kind of pizzazz. But I'm looking for content from Tim Kelly.
I don't think that Tim Kelly is going to impress you in any way outside of just calling great games this year.
Mm-hmm.
His resume doesn't impress you. He's followed around Bill O'Brien for 10 years. Anthony Weaver has all the mentors. You can list the mentors he has. Romeo Crennel, Mike Pettine, Rex Ryan, just to name a few. He has that. He's not going to impress you with his charisma.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. We're going to have the cliche bell ready, and we'll get that for you. I don't think he's really going to have much, and this is what you and Clint are hoping for. I don't think you're going to look at Tim Kelly after today and say, man, that dude's got some ideas that this offense needs. I think it's going to be basically what Bill O'Brien would say, maybe even drier, like mm-hmm. a lot drier than what Bill O'Brien says. So as far as Tim Kelly, I am the podium critic, so I am going to give him a grade based on what he says. But I'm just telling you,
mm-hmm.
don't let this be the end-all, be-all in evaluating him. The only way he's going to impress you in any way, shape, or form is going to be how he calls plays. That's just me. I could be wrong. John, you could be right. And I will be the first to admit that you could be right. But I'm just telling you, don't hold your breath, because I don't want you to die, old man. I don't want to have to do shows by myself. So don't hold your breath on your expectations as to what you want from Timmy K.
I'm not worried about delivery. I'm worried about content. And that content doesn't need to be, hey, you know, we're going to run two reverses again. I don't care about reverses, trick plays or gimmick plays or whatever. I'm talking about approach of a little insight on how this is going to be better in his view, or at least you're not going to have as significant a drop off in his view, because how he sees implementing three and four guys, how he sees things differently, and how he's going to be allowed to do things differently from what Bill O'Brien has done in the last few years. You brought up the numbers yesterday, and they're astounding. They're nothing short of astounding, and I'm not overselling that. 2018, 2019, this offense averaged 362 yards both years, exactly the same. Rushing, 126 and 125, 1 yard difference. Passing per game, 236 and 236. Again, the exact same numbers with Bill O'Brien, by and large, calling every snap. I want to know, how is it going to be different? Tell me how it's going to be different. What are you going to do differently? Not play calls, but what's going to be different? How is that going to change? How are you going to make the most of what you see in front of you now offensively?
I don't want to hear any praise of what this system is.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have whenever, you talk about the frustration that a lot of fans feel when you watch this. When you start praising the culture and you start talking about how great you do things, but then you follow that up with, but we got to take the next step. There's really no substance to that, because you're basically saying that everything we've done so far is great, and then you're doing that. So I know it's going to be somewhat the same system, but I don't think anyone looks at this Texans offensive system and says, you know what, that is just awesome. You know what they've done the last 6 years in this system and what they do, that right there is just something that they've got the groundwork laid out for a great offense. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I really want to hear when he goes up there. I just don't want to hear it, J-Lo. I don't want to hear about this system. Like, I want something new.
Yeah.
And I think it's healthy to have something new, and it's healthy to have, different minds when it comes to offense. The problem, though, and the issue that a lot of people have is Sean McVay was considered and still is considered to be one of the best offensive minds in the NFL, right? This year, he brought in an offensive coordinator that he's never worked with. It's a guy who hasn't been in the room with Sean McVay. And Sean McVay, who could easily just say, you know what, I'm going to stick to my system, we're going to handle things, is bringing in another voice.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Kelly's been here the whole time. Now, that can be an advantage.
Sure.
That could be a situation where you know what needs to change. But he's also been here the same time, and he might have the same thoughts. So that's really what is scary. And again, we're not going to know till he calls the plays, but I do think there's something to be said for when somebody who holds this prominent of a position, when they go up there and they show that they have their own ideas, they have their own vision, regardless of the delivery, regardless of how dry it is, regardless of how charismatic it is, that goes a long way.
Yeah.
And that, my friend, is what I want to see today. I want to see somebody who looks like he clearly has a different idea, a different grasp of what he wants to do. That's it.
Don't necessarily reinvent the wheel. Just go your own path here. Within the confines of the playbook, Bill O'Brien's playbook, that's not going to change. But maybe turn the page or two a couple times and give us an indication that you are is kind of what we're looking at right now. And Clint Sterner, said it very, very smartly just yesterday.
Doesn't want to hear no tough, smart, dependable. He wants to hear something new.
He wants him to distance himself from Bill O'Brien. That's the right word. That's the way to do it. What is going to be, let me ask you this. What we took away from Anthony Weaver's press conference, the catchphrase or catchword, exotic. And everybody jumped on that. You heard the promos and everything. Anthony Weaver, that's kind of what impressed people, that he's like, I'm different. He kind of established it without saying it in so many words. We're going to be multiple. We're going to be exotic. we're going to free guys into to be able to pressure the quarterback. What's going to be the exotic for Tim Kelly?
Speed.
Speed?
Speed.
I could see that.
I think the word is going to be speed.
I'm going to say the word is going to be multiple. I think he's going to, you know, pounce on the fact that, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is gone, but we've got multiple different ways we can attack you now. And I hope that's what he says. I hope he goes into a little more detail like that. So we go from exotic to multiple. That would be a good way to that'd be a good thing to hear.
I'm going to go speed. I think he's going to focus on the actual speed mm-hmm. of these guys, like the guys on the outside, the speed. That's what I think. That's my prediction.
Yeah, either of those would be good.
We'll see what exactly happens and what exactly Tim Kelly has to say when he goes to the podium right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Actually, it's not a podium. It's technically a Zoom. Little Zoom. You think he's going to be wearing his coach's outfit? You think he's going to be wearing like the generic Texan sideline?
No.
Is that what we're going to get?
No, he's going to be in his living room or whatever, Dan. He'll probably just have the old button down on.
I feel like Bill O'Brien wears that all the time. I feel like Bill O'Brien was wearing that in the.
That's Bill O'Brien, though.
At the draft, I think O'Brien was wearing his Texans hat and his pullover. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think he was.
I'm mistaken?
Yeah, I think he was.
Sure. He's kind of got like a cartoon character, Doug Funny / Bart Simpson wardrobe. Same thing every day. No matter what, he just hits the town in the Texans generic cap. That's what we're going with?
No, I don't think Tim Kelly is.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Tim Kelly going to be very interesting to hear what he has to say. I also want to hear what he has to say about David Johnson. Maybe Duke Johnson.
Maybe Duke Johnson,
Duke Johnson last year, a career low in receptions.
Mm-hmm.
Career low in receptions.
He was mishandled.
Mishandled. I mean, mm-hmm. he wasn't maximized.
Yeah.
You trade a third-round pick for the guy. That's not like something to sit there and roll your eyes at.
Right.
A third-round pick for Duke Johnson, he has a career low in receptions, not necessarily the direction that I think we want it to go and the direction that they want it to go. Now, does David Johnson, this is the other thing, does David Johnson come in and does he kind of minimize the ways in which you use Duke Johnson? Could we see both of those guys in the backfield at the same time?
That's a great question.
Could we see that? Those guys
that's
going
a great
out.
Question.
Two very good receivers out of the backfield. Could we see more four wide?
Mm-hmm.
Texans didn't run a lot of five wide. The tight ends, Tim Kelly was once a tight end coach. What's he going to say about the tight ends? You mm-hmm. have all these guys. What about the water polo tight end? You think he has an opinion about
Bill
the water
O'Brien,
polo tight end?
Was pretty complimentary of him.
Was he?
Well, he expected. He said he was. Well,
barely
I think he
him.
Was.
I don't think he was very. I don't think he was very complimentary of the water polo tight end.
I think he said that he was excited about his ability and his potential.
Talking about Kahale Waring, by the mm-hmm. way, the water polo tight end has not stepped on the field in a preseason or regular season game. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. Kahale Waring's got to be just exhausted. Like he basically had to just sit in meetings last year without even getting to play.
Was he paying attention?
How much that sucks.
Just sitting in the back.
I mean, I don't know. That concussion lasted about 16 weeks. Yeah, I mean,
he's no Brandon Cooks.
You know, no, not toughing it up like Brandon Cooks. They kind of stashed him a little bit on injured reserve. What about rookies? Could we see a rookie contribute? You brought in some undrafted guys. What do you think about those guys? Anticipate.
Oh, how is he going to approach the rookie question?
How's he going to approach?
Are they going to know nothing like Bill O'Brien said?
Is he going to say they don't know a damn thing?
Yeah.
There's no chance at him. What is Mark Berman going to ask? Is Mark Berman's Zoom going to work? Is he going to be pissed off?
A third time at least it'll work.
Is Mark Berman
messing with the Zoom?
Mark Berman might go back to. Mark Berman's going to get corny. This is what Mark Berman's going to ask him about Penn State.
Talk about when you were a grad assistant.
What does
at
it
Penn
feel
State
like
for Bill O'Brien? What's the difference between, you know, being a grad assistant at Penn State to now being in the NFL?
A very close cousin to talk about is what does it feel like? What's it like? What do you mean, what's it like? It's there.
Berman's going to interview the other Penn State grad assistants in the class.
What do you remember about Tim Kelly coming up on Fox 26?
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Without further ado, Timmy Kelly is about to speak. We're going to hear from him very, very shortly here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. We're waiting for the Zoom to fire up. Sometimes when you're waiting on that technology, John Lopez, it just takes a little bit of time. For the Zoom to fire up. We know Bill O'Brien loves the Zoom. Tim Kelly's going to get that Zoom ready. Will John McClain get the first question, yes
of
or no?
Of course.
You're sure?
He's the Helen Thomas of
Are you
Texas.
Sure? Yes. Who is Helen Thomas?
Helen Thomas covered, I think, 7 presidents?
I don't know who Helen
Thomas is. From the Associated Press. She always asks the first question of every president.
Did she ask good questions?
Yes.
Better than McClain.
Legendary.
Better than McClain.
Yes, no? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, all due respect.
What do you mean, oh, yeah?
All due respect.
Didn't even hesitate.
Freaking Helen Thomas,
well,
man.
Okay. Did she ask better questions or not?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if John McClain gets this first question. I'm very, very, very excited to see what's in here.
Wow, she covered 10 presidents.
Kelly, 10 presidents. Which ones, John?
From Kennedy on forward. Let's see. 10 U.S. presidents from the start of the Kennedy administration through Obama. 10 presidents.
All right, well, you know what? Let's put you on the spot because you're praising her for her questions. I want to hear you right now, John Lopez. You get the first question, I get the second question. Let's fire them off right now. The questions that Tim Kelly should be asked. You start, I go, you go, I go, back and forth. Let's go. Let's ask the right questions.
All right.
No wasted time.
All right.
No wasted time.
Tim, how is the offense going to look different now that you're calling the plays?
Tim, you talk about the system. Have you had a vision of what changes you would like to make last year compared to this year, or is this just something that you want to keep it going as is? What's next? John Lopez, what's your next question?
Do you have question? Any more? Are you going to add to that question anymore?
Go ahead.
What do I always say?
Less is more.
Short question.
Give me another one.
How do you feel about DeAndre Hopkins leaving? Make them think. Make them have an answer.
Is David Johnson an upgrade over Carlos Hyde?
How are you going to be better without DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, that's a good one. What about Duke Johnson? And how do you plan on maximizing Duke Johnson?
Are you going to be able to be as effective running the ball with David Johnson?
Are you scared of Bill O'Brien?
What do you think of your tight ends?
How do you feel about the phrase tough, smart, dependable?
Okay, now you're going down a little rabbit hole here of Bill O'Brien-isms. What do you think of Helen Thomas?
Do you think Brandon Cooks only having one baby mama will help you guys succeed at a higher level?
What was your favorite playground game?
Can you spell the word team and use it in a sentence? Dude, I'm telling you right now, and I'm not kidding. Figgy, you mark this. I promise you this. I'm giving you my word on this. If he spells out team,
oh, it's
I'm
over.
Not finishing the show today.
It's over.
No, I'm
you're out.
Listen.
Out.
Listen. If he spells out the word team, I am not finishing the show today. You can tease tomorrow. Ihedebo will be on. We'll react to this. We'll grade J.J. Watt's tag performance.
If he spells out
team today, I am out. I'm out.
If he spells out the word team, this city will go nuts.
If he spells out the word team, I'm not only out, I am ripping this studio to shreds.
Well, don't do that.
To where nobody else can even talk today.
I would advise.
I am shutting down the station if he spells out the word team.
I would advise against that, but I get your point.
All right. Advice noted.
Yeah.
But I better not hear him spell out the word team. I'm serious.
Capital
John.
T, capital E,
do not
capital
do that.
A,
please
capital
don't do
M.
that. What if he does that?
People are going to go nuts. Just bat bleep
he's
crazy.
He's really not. I promise you that will not happen. This is the Bill O'Brien disciple. This is the chosen one. A lot of people have the chosen one in their life. This is the guy that I'm going with. This is the guy I'm putting all my eggs in basket. This is the Bill O'Brien disciple. This is the Bill O'Brien creation.
Mm-hmm.
Following him around at Penn State.
Yeah, like Dr. Frankenstein.
From Penn State all the way to here. Tim Kelly, Colin Plays, shot caller for the Houston Texans. Going to be up momentarily here on In the Loop Sports Radio 6. I wonder what's taking him so long, man. You think he's getting some training?
I don't know.
You think Bill O'Brien just called him and said, hey, you better not say this, 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 this. Think he gave him a script?
No, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
There's just a lot of anticipation going on with our guy Tim Kelly. I feel like I'm kind of filibustering right now. I don't know what the hell is going on right there, in there right now. No clue.
All right. Well, we'll get to Tim Kelly. One other thing about him, though, is if he's asked about DeAndre Hopkins more than once, you know he's going to get uncomfortable with that. They want to move past DeAndre Hopkins so badly, but you know you have to get you know some perspective on that.
It's hard though because he's not the one who made the call.
No, I know, but he's the coordinator.
Do you really think if we asked Tim Kelly if he wanted to make that trade, he wanted to make that trade?
Right.
That's tough. It's tough.
But he's going to be asked about it.
He wasn't part of the
If he's asked about it more than, well, I mean, he kind of was because at some point, you know, Bill O'Brien said, I'm trading DeAndre Hopkins.
Nothing to do with it.
And he had to say, wait, what?
This dude had This dude had absolutely nothing to do with anything when it comes to the decision. Let's be honest. There is nothing in the world that Tim Kelly. How many guys in that building do you think wanted to make that deal? Two?
Two.
Maybe three. Maybe Cal.
Maybe Cal basically signed, you know, let him have it.
Maybe Cal, maybe Bill, maybe Jack. Without further ado, Tim Kelly, I think he's got the Zoom fired up. We got the cliche bell again. The cliche over under is 30. So we'll see if he reaches that. And without further ado, the new play caller for your Houston Texans, Timmy Kelly.
Could you talk about what it's going to be like calling plays without Hopkins, but having the additions of Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, and David Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the people that we have in our offensive unit room right now, you've got a lot of explosive players there for us. Okay, guys that have unique skill sets, guys that are experienced, and guys that have produced at a high level, you know, in this league. So, yeah, it's a exciting thing to be able to kind of sit back and watch those guys kind of come together throughout this virtual offseason and learn the offense and kind of come together as one unit.
Anthony Weaver the other day said progress was really good with these Zoom meetings and teaching installs and everything, because you really can get into a lot of the details because this is all that you've got. Do you feel similarly, especially working with so many new parts to your offense?
Yeah, sure, Adam. I think, you know, anytime, you know, if you have the opportunity to get your hands on them and then be able to get them out on the grass, I think you'd rather do that, obviously, you know, with being able to allow those players, those new pieces, to kind of build that chemistry, you know, on the grass. But as far as what we're able to do throughout these Zoom meetings, it's really kind of a unique deal, right? Because everybody seems to be more comfortable in front of the screen, whether it's in front of their phone or their tablet or their computer. So the communication that's going on right now between our players, you know, between one another, between coach to player, player to coach, has really been encouraging. So while, yeah, you're able to kind of dive into those details and really, really, you know, I know we said getting to the graduate level portion of it, you know, I think you'd always really want to be able to get your hands on them and be able to use the grass. But for our guys to be able to come in here and approach this offseason the way that they have in such an uncertain time, it's really been encouraging.
Hey, Tim. Yeah. Congratulations on now being the primary play caller. You've been working with OB for a while now. What is that experience like for you to now take to the level of calling the plays? And what do you envision for the offense? As John asked about DeAndre Hopkins and him being traded to the Cardinals with kind of distribution of targets, what do you envision in terms of the offense? And what's it like to replace a player like DeAndre and not have him in the offense?
Yeah, I think anytime you take the field with multiple weapons, multiple guys who can hurt a defense at a variety of different levels, not just necessarily deep, short, or intermediate, but really be able to threaten every aspect of the field, it's a good thing. So, you know, as far as being able to attack the defenses and really, you know, as you know, each opponent kind of presents its own issue, but really being able to take advantage of different matchups throughout the entire field and not necessarily one player, it's an encouraging thing. Again, we've got a great quarterback, a guy who's going to be able to distribute the ball, and again, get the ball to the guys that are winning. And we've got guys who've won consistently for a long time, you know, scattered throughout that room. You look at Brandon, you look at Randall, you look at Will and Kenny, obviously, with the production they had last year, Kiki and DeAndre Carter, Stevie Mitchell made some big plays, okay? You know, obviously those are guys that have produced and that are coming in, you know, with a great mindset, you know, but with a chip on their shoulder and are working hard every day to make sure they're on the same page with the coaching staff and making sure they're on the same page with Deshaun.
You're now in the quarterback room. Can you talk about how that transition is going with you, not only calling the plays, but and also do you feel like the personnel is being better adjusted to Deshaun Watson's skill set this season with the new additions?
I mean, I think as far as the you know, adjustment, if you will, to you know, being in the quarterback room, I spent a lot of time in that room last year, working with, you know, closely with Deshaun and AJ and Alex and, you know, coach uh, Carl Smith. So there's not really too much of an adjustment that's going on with that. And yeah, I think, you know, Deshaun's obviously excited to get to work with these guys and see what they can do once they can all get together.
What was it about last season and what your role is last season and how it's changing this season that changed or helped prepare you to be able to call the plays in 2020?
Yeah, I think anytime you're doing something for the first time, there's going to be, you know, some form of learning process. So last year being in the offensive coordinator position, you know, for the first time, it was, you know, the first time I'd done it. So I was learning something from OB every week, every game, every day we were in there. So, you know, being able to take those lessons and make sure that we're able to improve in certain areas, you know, as we move forward here was a good thing.
You listen to Tim Kelly, offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610.
What are your expectations for wearing this coming season? And you talk about the significance of having your O-line back intact, all your starters.
Sure, Mark. Starting with Kahale, he's doing a good job, as they all are, right? That entire room, you know, with Akins and Jordan Thomas and Fells and Kahale and, you know, they're doing a great job coming here and working with Coach Will Lawing and making sure that they're on top of it. So the expectation for Kahale is for him to be on top of his game mentally when he comes in, just like all of them, and be able to compete, you know, for a spot once we get on the grass. You know, as far as the offensive line, it's really, I believe, you know, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's the first time that we've had all five starters back since we've been here. So, you know, that position especially, there's a lot of chemistry that goes into playing that position, of playing next to one another, how certain people are going to handle certain blocks and how it's going to feel and the different responses and reactions that you'll get. And I'm sure Coach Dev will be able to get into that, you know, in depth with you if you'd like. But having all five of those guys back is vital. You know, it's a good thing, and it's something that we're definitely excited for.
When you look at some of the new additions, what do you see specifically in terms of some of the things they bring to the table in David Johnson, Brandon Cooks, and Randall Cobb? If you could kind of just give us a little thumbnail on each guy and also the offensive players that you drafted.
Yeah, sure. Well, with the guys that have drafted, obviously, you know, they're here putting in their work, just trying to catch up. They're so far behind, and it's not their fault. They're just rookies. They're so far behind the vets right now that they're doing what they can, meeting extra with position coaches, meeting extra with one another to try and close the gap between them and the vets. So they're doing a good job as far as that's concerned. With the new players that are in the room, all of them to a T have been great professionals. They come in. It's been great communication between everybody, kind of talking about what they see, talking about how they've treated things in the past in different places. And again, like this setting, this medium that we're using has really allowed people to open up the lines of communication. And it's been great, you know, from David to Randall to Brandon, they've all come in and, you know, made contributions in terms of how they've seen things and in terms of what they like. It's really been an interesting thing to kind of take part of, especially, you know, with this unique circumstance we have with it, doing it all virtually.
Hey, Tim, do you think Fuller and Stills and maybe now even Cooks can play inside and on the outside? And this question seems almost obvious, but the excitement level that you've gotten from Deshaun about working with this new group and kind of unleashing a new look offense with you and everybody that's there now.
Yeah, I think, you know, Deshaun's excited. I don't want to speak for him, but, you know, with the communication that we've had, you know, these however many days throughout this you know, virtual offseason, he's come in with a great mindset, coming in trying to get better at some areas and really take grasp of the offense. So he's doing a great job as far as that's concerned. And then, yeah, I mean, obviously there's versatility that goes along with playing in that wide receiver position and being able to play inside and outside and do some different things and, you know, have a diversified route tree. It's all things that are going to help us basically take the next step here as an offense.
Tim, you have Duke Johnson now coming the second year in the offense. I know he got late. He was here late last year in the camp. Now David Johnson. Can you speak on how important it is now to have backs where, you know, you possibly have on all three downs a running threat and a pass catching threat and what that does for an offense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it opens up, you know, the the play calling, obviously. You're not limited by, you know, a guy's ability to only run the ball or only catch the ball. When you have guys that are versatile and are both, you know, vital running threat, a good receiving threat, it allows you to open up and be creative and find different ways to get guys the ball in space and do some good things. So, yeah, we're excited to have both those guys back there, and especially with Duke, you know. This is the first offseason that Duke's going through. It's the first offseason with us that Laramie's going through. It's the first offseason with us that Kenny's going through. So, you know, a lot of this stuff that we're covering right now, it's the first time they're really being able to kind of hear it in depth, and it's really, really good.
Tim, when you look at Laramie and the fact that now that he, you know, he's just acquired what he has right before the season, kind of thrown in, how much better do you feel like he can play even now that he has more of a comfort level with the offense? And I wanted to see if you'd had a chance to talk with Will Fuller as he, you know, keeps working and rehabbing and how he's doing and just kind of as he tries to get back to full strength.
Yeah, and all the conversations I've had with Will have been encouraging. So, you know, he's been good in the meeting room. He's been great with his position coach, John Perry. So we're encouraged by that. And as far as Laramie, you know, yeah, him being here for the offseason is – you know, going to be very beneficial. But again, more importantly, when we all get together, him being able to get those training camp reps, those reps with, you know, the offensive line with Max and things like that are, you know, you cannot, I can't stress how important those are for an offensive line to be able to kind of come together and play as one unit. So it's a good thing that we have all five of those guys coming back.
Hey Tim, when you watch Deshaun on tape, what are some of the areas where you guys from a coaching standpoint want to see him improve as a quarterback? And I know that earlier you said that you guys were already in close communication even last year, but as the play caller, does the communication and the relationship with Deshaun have to develop even more for you guys to be successful?
Sure, I think you always as you're calling plays or you're a part of the play calling process, you want to make sure that you're seeing the game through the same really set of eyes as the quarterback, that you're all on the same page, that you all have the same vision of the play when the play gets called. And, you know, that's something where as we continue to grow, that's going to be important. And yeah, there's things that Deshaun needs to get better at and as all of us need to improve on. So we've talked about that with him. You know, coming out and being consistent and playing at that, you know, he set the bar so high. So it's really a challenge for him to be able to play at that level, you know, every time he steps on the field.
All right, that's Tim Kelly here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. J-Lo, your biggest takeaway from the new play caller.
Let me guess what your grade's going to be for him. My biggest takeaway is baby steps. I mean, he was a little bit more telling in terms of what he's going to be, but he still fell back a little bit too much into B.O.B. mode, right? And we didn't expect – if you're going to compare him to Anthony Weaver, well, that's just unfair.
We said that from the
beginning. Yeah, we said that before. But, you know, we're hoping to get – you know, the question, which really a version of it came very, very late, and that's about it. Why is this going to be different and better? You know, now that you're calling the plays. We never really got that. Got a little bit of it at the end talking about Deshaun Watson. I think he was – my takeaway is clearly –
that's the most animated I've ever heard him, honestly.
Yeah, clearly he tried, you know, to be a little bit more engaging. It's just not in his makeup. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, hey.
I'm worried.
New ball game now, baby.
I'm worried, dude.
I think it's going to be a lot of the same Bill O'Brien.
And it's not just based on the presser. No. I was a little bit, I mean, there's a healthy reasoning goes into why you'd be skeptical about Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
But I didn't get much from what he just said. I will say, If you're asking what exactly he said that stuck out, he talked about Kahale wearing and the mm-hmm. mentality he needs to have. He talked about him being mentally ready, which sounds very Bill O'Brien-ish.
Yeah.
He's got to be mentally ready to go on the field and play. He talked about, and I thought this was a good point, the offensive line, five starters returning, first time that's happened. I think that's important. The Texans' offensive line is definitely a strength. This team might be the best unit on the entire squad, which – I mean, when you've invested as much as they have,
it should be.
You would hope so. He talked about learning something new every day from Bill O'Brien last year that put him in position here.
I saw your face.
I just don't know if that makes me feel much better about him calling the offense. I learned something new every day from the guy who decided that he wasn't doing a good enough job calling plays.
That he gave me the play call.
Yeah, that's a little bit concerning. I don't want to be that guy. I'll give him a C minus at the podium. I'll give Tim Kelly a solid C minus.
I was going to guess C minus.
Generous. Generous. I mean, you know, I don't want to fail the young man, quite honestly, because I don't want him in my classroom anymore, but also just want him to progress. Want to give him the benefit of the doubt, so we'll give him a C minus. But also, as far as the media types go, F. I mean, honestly, that was one of the worst press conference displays that I've seen from the media in a long time.
They play down to their competition.
I'm not going to be that guy, but that guy that just sits here and says something.
I mean, we weren't there.
For the question to not be asked, how is this going to be different?
Yeah, that's my point.
For it not to be asked, what improvements are going to be made? And for it not to be asked, what is the next step? Because he mentioned the next step multiple times. For that not to be asked, and we had, what is the significance of all of your offensive linemen coming back? Asked instead of those things, that's the first question that should have been asked. How is this going to be different? You talk about taking the next step. You're a Bill O'Brien guy. How is this going to be different? It wasn't even asked, John. And we got multiple questions. Pat Neistat tried to ask it, so I'll give him credit. He said, you know, are these pieces better equipped to work around Deshaun Watson's skill set? He asked
That's what I was referencing.
Brandon Scott kind of tried to ask it as well. But, I mean, for the question not to be asked, how is this going to be different? What are the improvements that this offense needs to be make, and what is the next step? I think it's a missed opportunity.
Well,
We talked about it
right before we went to his press availability. You asked me my first question. My first question was what? How is this offense going to be better now that you're calling the plays?
Yeah, I mean that's the story. I mean that's the story.
Because you got the job, so the offense could be better.
What is he supposed to say when you ask him how important is it for the offensive line to be back with all five guys?
It's important.
He gave a good answer, and then there was another one about it.
Yeah.
What about Laremy Tunsil? You just paid him a lot of money. How about him being here with the system? Well, yeah, it's great to learn the system. He did a good job describing, you know, Duke Johnson. This is going to be his first full off season and all that. I liked what he said there, but how is this going to be different is the thing that we needed to hear, and we didn't hear it. And it wasn't asked. He didn't even have a chance to say it.
This is a big deal. You know, this offense revolves. The most important man in the building is Deshaun Watson, man. And this offense has been stagnant the last 2 years, stuck, spinning its tires. We just gave the numbers. I mean, literally to the yard, they've been stuck in mud. Hey, Tim. How is the offense going to be better now that you're calling the play?
How's it going to be better? How are you going to
improve if you want to soften
it? What is the next step? Yeah. You mentioned the next step. What is the next step? How do you take that next step? What improvements need to be made? What do you see from this? What do you see in there? That's really what I want to hear. But quite honestly, he could say whatever the hell he wants. I can be the podium critic. You can be the podium critic. We can sit here and talk about it. It's going to come down to how he actually calls the plays, which, by the way, 113 days from now, he's going to get his first crack at it in Kansas City. Against those damn Kansas City Chiefs that ripped our hearts out and prevented us from witnessing the old Oilers facing off against the Houston Texans in the AFC Championship game. I've moved past that.
Have you? Have you? I can't tell.
I've moved past it. But we'll see when he gets a crack and he returns to the scene of the crime. Thank you very much for everyone who tuned in. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. Thanks to Stanford Rout for joining us on a well-spoken Wednesday. Always one of my favorite times of the week when I get to talk to old Stan. For the OG John Lopez, doing what he do. For Figgy Fig, being the best in the world at what he do. I am Landry Locker. Clinton Show, they're going to react to that press conference very shortly tomorrow. We're going to take away our biggest takeaways from the Tim Kelly thing. We're going to judge J.J. Watt's national TV debut of his new show. Don't forget, Facebook tonight, 7 o'clock, Sean Pendergast, David Anderson. They're going to rewind things. Get your popcorn ready, though. Get it together. Fire up those radio.com apps because Clint and show are next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.